Begin the current daf, Masechta Shavuos daf Chof Dalet. Begin on the second line down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had contrasted two teachings of the Mishnah that come one after the other that seem to contradict each other. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, if someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat, and then he eats things which are not fit to be eaten, or drinks things that are not fit to be drunk, so he's going to be exempt, because that's not considered what you say when you're not going to eat, since it's not edible. But then the Mishnah teaches, if someone says, same thing, I swear I'm not going to eat, and then they eat nevelas, trefas, non-kosher things, he's chayiv. So the Gemara asks, why in the Reisha you're going to be putter, and why in the Seif you're going to be chayiv? They're both not edible, either because it's prohibited, or because it's just people don't eat it, like dirt, like dust. But either way, why are you going to be chayiv by the case of nevela and putter by the case of the first case of the Mishnah? Now the Gemara says, it's not difficult. The ratio where he says you're going to be putter is talking about where the person just said, unspecified, I'm not going to eat. Now that's therefore only prohibiting him something that's usually edible. And therefore if you eat something which is not usually eaten, you're going to be putter. The seifa was talking about where he was explicit and he says, I'm making myself prohibited in eating a nevela. And therefore if he eats a non-kosher thing like a nevela, he's going to be chayv. So that the Gemara continues and said, but that case itself is difficult. But that's what's known as mushba mehar Sinai hu. A person already took an oath at Har Sinai not to eat non-kosher. So therefore, a shvu is not chala on something that you already have an oath already taken beforehand. How does that help if you're taking an oath not to eat a nevela for it to take effect? So that the Gemara had two different approaches. There is that of Rabbi Yechanan, who says because of what's known as Isr Kail. And that is because, yes, a person is already prohibited from Har Sinai, one of the Targ Mitzvahs, not to eat non-kosher. But when he says, I'm not going to eat, that includes kosher and non-kosher. And since it takes effect, what's known as migui, on kosher, so it's also going to take effect in the principle of known as Isr Kail, including also what's already prohibited anyway, because in the Vela, now together, it's going to be forbidden also based on the oath of I'm not going to eat. Rish Lakish had a different approach. He says, no, it's talking about where the person specified and said, I'm not going to eat even a half of the measurement of what nevela is usually prohibited. And that is in the Torah, the measurement that's prohibited of non-kosher is kezias. He says, I'm saying an oath, I'm not going to eat even a half of an olive size of non-kosher, which daddy was in mushba v'oimim har sinaihu, and therefore the oath is going to take effect. And that's the case of the Seifa of the Mishnah, where you're going to be chayv, even if he said, I'm not going to eat, it's because he said, I'm not going to eat even less than the shear of nevela, and you specified that, and therefore that's where you're going to be chayv on that oath. Now that's why Gemara continues and says, where it already had started asking the difference between the opinions of Rish Lakish and Yechanan, and says, Bishlam Rish Lakish, we understand according to Rish Lakish that he explains the halacha of the Tana Kama. How is it if he says, I'm not going to eat, and then he eats Nevelas of Trevi, he's going to be Chayiv, but you're already Mujbab Ayim Har Sinai, and that Rish Lakish says, yeah, it's from a Chatzi Shir. Half of the measurement that you weren't sworn already at Har Sinai, that was only the size of an olive. Less than that you weren't, so therefore that's how the oath is going to take effect to be Chayiv if he eats Nevelas of Trevis. So that explains the opinion of the Tana Kama. Now, there was a dispute in there in that case. But we can understand, according to Rish Lakish, that Mishim Hochi Kapatra Reb Shimon, that's what Reb Shimon said. He disagreed and he says, no, that even in that case, the one who took the oath is going to be exempt on the oath, because he holds that actually a person is Mushba V'Aimid, even on a Kalshu. Not to eat non-kosher, not just the size of an olive, it was even the size of a minute amount. The Tana learned the Braiser, Reb Shimon Aimid, he says, Kalshu Lamakas. To be penalized if someone deliberately sins to get lashes on a prohibited item of consumption is even a minute amount. Amr Kazayas Ela Carbon. He says this whole halacha might be seen requiring a measurement of an olive size was only said for carbon. So then we understand why Reb Shimon says you're potter on the oath. Of course you're going to be potter on the oath because you're reading Mushba Har Sinai, even on Chatz Yishir. But the Gemara continues and asks Rabbi Yechanan that he explained the halacha of the Tana Kama that says your chayiv is because of Isr Kailal, because once it's taking effect on something that's permitted, it's already going to include what's prohibited too. Then my time and Rabbi Shimon the Pata. So what's the reason of Rabbi Shimon that says you're exempt? Isr Kailal should seemingly say that it should double up and say not only is it also because of Nevela, but also because of the Shavuah. So that says the Gemara, what do you mean? It's not difficult, Rabbi Yechanan. Midu hu taima el mishum Isr Kailal. The whole reason why you're saying why a person would be chayav a shvua on the nevela is because of Isr Kail. Reb Shimon l'tamei, Reb Shimon goes according to his reasoning, that he says in this case, Yipater, delesle Isr Kail. He doesn't hold that this concept of Kail could add on an Isr on something that's already prohibited for a different reason. To sound like Nebraisa. Reb Shimon, I mean, he says, Ha'eichel nevela b'yemiki purim patri. He says, if someone eats a non-slaughtered animal on Yom Kippur, he's exempt. Where again, there's two isurim over there. There's the isur of eating in the nevela anytime, and there's the isur of eating anything in Yom Kippurim. So Reb Shimon says if someone eats the nevela Yom Kippur, he's exempt from the carbon chatas, which one is usually chayev for eating on Yom Kippurim. Meaning, because we don't say that the karas of Yom Kippurim takes effect on this piece of meat, which was already usur because of the nevela, or even the, let's say, a different isur it had on it, of Avram and Achai. If let's say it wasn't yet a nevela, didn't die from before Yom Kippurim. So although Yom Kippurim is an Isser Kail, meaning that since on Yom Kippur you cannot eat because of even permitted foods, so therefore it should then include also that you're not allowed to eat, it should take effect on also a nevela, and that says Reb Shimon no. Reb Shimon says if you eat the nevela Yom Kippurim, you can be exempt from the Chiv Chatos of Yom Kippurim. So you see, says the Gemara, it's not difficult in Rabbi Yechanan. The reason why Reb Shimon says in this case he apatzer is because he does not hold the halachic principle of Isser Kail. But the Gemara continues asking on these two opinions. Bishlam the Resh Lakish, we understand the Kondi Resh Lakish, again that we said he explains the halacha of the Tanakama and Reb Shimon in the halacha of Chatzi Shir, of half the measurement. Meaning the person said specifically, I'm not going to eat nevela, even less than the amount of the shir, and then he eats that. So Mishkachas lo balavehen. So it qualifies for the halachic category of no and yes. Meaning, there's a halacha on the next daf in Avchafeim and Aleph that teaches us that a carbon shvua, which is a halacha that we're discussing regarding shvuas to being chayav a carbon fit, only comes if it could be in no and in yes. Because the pasuk says, lahara oy lehetiv, if someone takes a shvuas bitui, to do bad or to do good, which sounds like both the thing and its opposite. Now, this case that the way Rish Lakish is describing this halacha of the Mishnah, when the person specifies, I'm not going to eat even a half of the shear of a nevela, that shvua could be both ways. It could be that I swear I'm going to eat, I'm not like the case we have in the Mishnah that I'm not going to eat a half a shear of nevela. And then also could be the other way, I swear that I'm going to eat a half of a measurement of a nevela, because that will take effect, because that's not considered nishba levatel as a mitzvah. The first way is not considered Shvua l'kaim as a mitzvah, because you're not chayiv in less than a shir. And this is not considered nishba levatel as a mitzvah to nullify, because you're not obligated in less than a kezayis. And usually a shvua is not chal to mimakaim or to mevatel mitzvah. But here, it could go both ways, because less than a kezayis, it's not nullifying, and neither is it validating the previous mitzvah of nevela. So we understand how it'll be a valid Shvua for that discussion. But El Rabbi Yechon, according to Rabbi Yechon, that he explains the halacha by a full measurement. And that's what we're discussing. But how you chayiv on taking a shvua on not to eat a nevela, how does it take effect? Aren't you already mushba v'oimid? And then Rabbi Yechon says in explanation of Tanakam, that's because of the isser of koil. Now, also, it's obvious that, as we said, we're talking about that he specified that he's not going to eat the nevela, because of the original question we had in the previous stuff, which we referenced, of the Reisha and the Seifa, meaning for the first case in the Mishnah and the second case of the Mishnah, where we said that if a person says, I'm not going to eat, so then it's not going to include Nevelas and Trefas. It's because that's not something that's usually eaten. That's the case that the Mishnah said you're going to be potter. The case that it said you're going to be chai when you eat Nevelas and Trefas, said the Gemara, is because you specified that you're not going to eat Nevelas and Trefas. And then the Gemara still had the question, okay, you specified, big deal, it's Nishba Ba'imid. You already had a Shavuah, and then how can you take another Shavuah? And that was the two answers, and Yechanan's answer was, because of Isser Kail. Since you're including permitted items, and that's going to be forbidden, so it also includes prohibited items. But on that, asked the Gemara, Bish Le Malav, so we understand the case of the Mishnah, which is the case of not, meaning if the person swears, I'm not going to eat. So we said, Mishkachas, so we found that it could take effect, even though, as the Gemara's question was, it's Mushma V'aymed, but as we had answered, according to Rabbi Yechanan, because of Isser Kail. By not eating, he's including not only prohibited items, like in the veil, he's not going to eat even kosher items. So since it takes effect on kosher, it's going to take also effect on non-kosher. But Elehen, but let's say in the directive of yes, meaning where he swears, I will eat non-kosher and kosher, Hecha Mishkachas Lo, how could you find over there that it should take effect on the Velas, which is going to be Mevatel, the oath that he had taken at Har Sinai? How could there, even based on the principle of Kail, you cannot make a Shvua on being Mevatel a Mitzvah, which the Torah already commanded you not to eat? How could you swear that you will eat? So therefore, how do we understand if the whole halacha of Shvuas Bita has to be Hen and Lav, According to Rabbi Yechanan, how does it work out? We understand it'll be lav, but it's not going to be hen. So how, according to the Kama, could you be chayiv on this shvuz bitoy of saying, I swear I'm not going to eat if it cannot take effect in swearing that I will eat in the velas? So Ella, rather, the Gemara actually changes its approach from the previous daf, which Rashi says not to be goris mishkachas lo. Rather, it's kidirava, which the explanation is, don't give the answer we gave in the previous daf when we had asked the contradiction between the two cases of the Mishnah, which we said, hey, one says that if you swear you're not going to eat, and they both said swearing you're not going to eat. One says you eat something that's not edible, it says you're potter. The other case says you're also eating something not edible, like non-kosher, you're going to be chayiv. So the Mishnah says, oh, it's not difficult. The one that says that you're going to be potter is when you just said I'm not going to eat. Not going to eat is only some things that you're normally eaten. And then if you eat something that's not, let's say non-kosher or something that's not edible, then you're going to be potter. And the case that said you're going to be chayiv, when it says you can eat nevelas ha-trefes, when you specify. And that says Rava, no. Actually, both cases of Mishnah Toma, when, as the normal reading of the Mishnah is, when he says, I swear I'm not going to eat. And he didn't specify anything. And when the Reish of the Mishnah, when the first case said that if he eats things that are not normally eaten, that is in Mipater, like Rava is saying, is when you're explicit, like Rava explains, for example, let's say you eat, Rava explains this case, when you eat offer, which is not edible at all. If you're not, if something that's totally not edible, that's when you're going to be potter. Dama Rava, Rava said, recording this in the previous daf, he says, shvush lo eichel, if someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat vachel, often eat dirt, eats dust. So that's where potter, that's the case in the first case of the Mishnah, says you're going to be exempt. In contrast, by nevelas, they're edible. It's just that what's called, there's a line waiting to pounce, it's Hashem's command that doesn't let us eat it. So therefore, that resolves the contradiction of the Mishnah. And therefore, we're not difficult on Rabbi Yechanan either anymore. Because if that's the way we're describing the case of the Mishnah, then we have lav vehen, even by a full measurement of nevela. Because the wording that he's saying is not like we had assumed up until now, which then that predicated then the answer of Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan on the question we thought it was Toma, where he specified, yeah, I'm not going to eat the nevela. So how is it going to take effect? Okay, so either Isakail or Chatzishir. No, he's not saying I'm not going to eat in the Vela. He's saying I'm not going to eat. Not going to eat, so then why Yechayv? Of course you're Yechayv, because it's edible food. It, of course it's considered an Achila. Now, but then the question is, how's it taking effect if he already Mushbav or Emir already beforehand? So that Rabbi Yechanan is saying, because of Isakail. But we could also understand now how it's going to be La Vehen, because when he says, I'm not going to eat, if he eats Nevela, he's going to be Chayiv, because in his words of not eating, it's including, not because he specified, I'm not going to eat Nevela and kosher, so I'm not going to eat. Not eating includes kosher and non-kosher. So since it takes effect to Isser on what's kosher, so through Koil, it's going to include also what's non-kosher too. Therefore, you could also have the opposite in the hen. When he says, I'm going to eat, so then he can fulfill his Shvua by eating kosher things. And if he doesn't eat, he's going to be chayiv. Very simple. That's how you have lav, the hen. Now, Amar Rav Mari says, Avanana Matinyan, he says, we also actually learned in our Mishnah that supports this concept we're saying right now, that, yeah, nevelas are considered ro lachil, not like we had assumed and presumed in the previous daf when we had asked and answered the question that dust and nevelas are all considered she'ina ro lachila, which are not things that are normally eaten, and therefore we had that question. No. A non-kosher piece of food, it's just as edible as kosher, it just wasn't slaughtered properly. Where do we find this? Because the Mishnah says, Kainim ishti nenesli, that I'm taking a neder that my wife is forbidden to have any benefit from me, imachalteyam. If I ate today, he's not telling the secret yet, if I ate today, then she's forbidden as a neder on me. And ba'achal nevel is a trevish kotzim masim, and then it comes out that he had eaten that day non-kosher food, hari ishti asur loy, so says the Mishnah, so his wife is forbidden to him. What do you see from that case? That eating non-kosher food is considered having eaten. So therefore, says Rav Mari, that proves the teretz that Rav is giving now, which therefore helps us resolve Rabbi Yechanan and Lav Vehen, that nevelas is considered a normal form of eating in contrast to eating offer. And that Gemara rejects that proof and says, no, Hachi Hashta, can you compare that case to the case of our Mishnah? Hasam, there in the Mishnah, kivin de mikar achal, since he had already eaten, it's only later in the day, he says, if I ate today, then my wife's forbidden. So he already ate. V'hadish tabeili, only later in the day does he take this oath, forbidding his wife based on the neder, as we continue to with Beis. So chashuv achshavei. So he had already made it significant, his eating, In other words, he already revealed earlier by his eating it in 2 in the afternoon that he's not disgusted with the non-kosher. He already ate non-kosher that day. And he's saying, if I ate, then she's forbidden. So obviously, that's why it's going to take effect at neder. But in this case, where a person says, I swear I'm not going to eat today. Did he ever make it significant that non-kosher is something that would for him be considered eating? No, it's no raya. Maybe that doesn't prove Rava's answer. Maybe like we had assumed on the previous stuff, that would also be just like offer. That's something that's not normally eaten, and therefore would be included, and then that therefore would not be included generally in the issur of I'm not going to eat, because it's not something that's normally edible, and that's why we have to say a different answer in the previous daf of kam bestam, kam b'mefarish. The Gemara continues on these halachas, once we introduce that of Rabbi Yechanan, who was explaining the halacha of the Tanakhama based on issur of kail. So Amar Rabbi says, my time of demand the isla issur kail. What's the reasoning of those who say that there is a concept known as issur kail? So that explains Rava. Midi dehava isser ma'isef, just like of the halacha concept of isser ma'isef, meaning that even the one who doesn't hold that an isser, a prohibition, could take effect on something that's already prohibited based on this concept of isser kail, they hold that it could take effect based on the concept of isser ma'isef. As the Gemara says, Mosech Zivamas of Laman Beis and Beis, that Rabbi Yossi agrees by isser ma'isef, where even though he disagrees by isser kail, he agrees by isser ma'isef, where there everyone agrees, and that Rava is saying that. So to this mandam would say that no, it's the same thing, issa maisiv, same thing is going to be by issa kail. So what are these two different things? Generally, you would say that ain issa chal al issa, if something's already prohibited, it's already prohibited. You can't add another prohibition. So there are these miguis, and we say that, yeah, but since it's taking effect for one reason, it's then going to be able to take effect for this reason too. So what is issa kail? Issa kail is where the later issa is not adding on anything new prohibition on this piece itself, anything more. Rather, what the Isser Kail is doing, it's increasing prohibitions on the person regarding other things. For example, Nevela and Yom Kippurim, where Yom Kippurim is only coming to make him prohibited in eating. Now, regards to eating, this piece of Nevela was already prohibited already for eating. So it comes out that the later Isser doesn't make this any more problematic for this piece of Nevela than it was before. But what Yom Kippurim does, it adds on prohibitions on the person to make everything else in the world prohibited for him to eat. So that's what we say. We say migui, that we say since Yom Kippurim takes effect on the person to make himself forbidden on all other foods because it's Yom Kippur, so it's kail, it includes also, once it's making things prohibited for him, so it also includes in that circle the nevela to say that, okay, nevela is also going to be prohibited, well, it was already prohibited to eat, yeah, but we're going to include in that prohibition also the Isser of Yom Kippur. That's Isser kail, where it's including other things in that Isser, which is basically on the person, not the thing. The thing was already prohibited anyway. Contrast, Isser Maisiv is when the later Isser is adding on an Isser on the piece itself, what the prohibited item itself, something that was not prohibited by the first Isser, where that it's making the later things making it prohibited. For example, if let's say what something that was originally prohibited, the later Isser is making forbidden, like Chaylev of Kaidish, where a person's not allowed to eat certain fats from an animal, which are chaylev. They're always prohibited. But those chaylev, those fats, are actually sacrificed on the Mizbeach. But when the carbon is left overnight, it becomes nicer. So then there's an added Isser on that, what was already originally permitted, which was to take those chaylev and sacrifice the Mizbeach. Now that chaylev is prohibited also to the Mizbeach. So we say that since the designation of nicer takes effect on this carbon to make it prohibited, this chaylev to be put on the Mizbeach, which was till then permitted, this piece itself had permissibility to it. Now there's something prohibited on it. So that first prohibition is not going to stop it from taking effect on it. That's not considered issachal alisser, and therefore it's going to take effect, this designation of nicer, not only for being prohibited to the Mizbeach, but also to anyone who eats it, to be liable not only for chaylev, but also of nicer, even though that you normally say, well, it's already prohibited, how could you add on more prohibitions? But issur maisav is saying, but this piece has new isurim to it. It used to have more permissibility to it, where it was chaylev the person couldn't eat, but chaylev in the object itself. In contrast, like we were saying, but Isser Kail is really, in the sense, the person adding on more Isurim to him, including that which already prohibited. Isser Maisiv is the piece itself. The piece itself up until now was permitted to the Mizbeach. Now it's prohibited even to the Mizbeach, because it's nicer. Oh, so then we're adding on Isurim into the piece. Now it's going to be Asr not only to the Mizbeach because of nicer, but also to the person that was already forbidden for Chaylev. It's going to be Asr because of nicer too. So therefore, says Rabbah, the one who holds Isser Kail is because it's just like Isser Maisiv. Everyone agrees it's a Maisiv. So just like Isser Maisiv is adding on Isurim to the piece, and then there's two prohibitions now to the person, so Isser Kail is the same thing. Since it takes effect on things that are permitted, so it's going to take effect even what's forbidden too. In contrast, Oman Depata, the one that says, no, you're exempt on Isser Kail, like we said before, Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Isser Kail, is Delesle, doesn't hold of this, because Ki Amar Isser Maisiv, when do we say that you could add on, even though generally an Isser cannot take effect on Isser, we say by Isser Maisiv it could. That's because it's B'chadah Haticha. It's by one piece, like we explained, that since a second designation of Isser takes effect on this piece, regarding something that up until now it was permitted, like by the chaylev for the mizbeach, so therefore takes effect in it also for something that was up until now prohibited anyway. But from one piece to another piece, b'shteich atichos layaminin, with two different pieces that we don't say, oh, wait a second, since it takes effect on this person for this piece, let's say Yom Kippur, oh, you're not allowed to eat this piece of schnitzel? Oh, so then we're going to include that also that non-kosher piece of pork. Chaychas. Those are two different things. That's what Isser Kail is. And that's why those disagree. They say, in the piece itself, if you're adding on something to us to make it Asr, which is Isser Maisiv, yeah, that we hold that Isser can be Chal Isser. But Isser Kail, which is two different things in regards to that same person, that they don't hold that Isser will be Chal Isser, and that's what is the disagreement. Continuing the discussion, another teaching from V'Amar Ravi says, Lamande Isle Isser Kail, according to the one who holds of Isser Kail, Amar Shvur Shla Echotein, if someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat figs. One. Then the Chazav Amishvush Leichotain Madam, and then he goes and he swears again, I'm not going to eat figs and grapes. So he says, Migi de Chayil Anovim, since that second oath is taking effect on the grapes, Sechayil Name Ateinim. So it's going to take effect also on the figs, which that's Isser Kail. Two different things. But once his Shavu is taking effect on the permitted thing, it's going to include also the prohibited. If it was only on the prohibited, you can't. You already have a Shavu, you can't take a Shavu on that. But since it's taking effect on this, so that's Isser Kail, not Isser Maisiv, it's Isser Kail. So the Gemara asked on Rav Pshita, obviously, that's just like we explained before, that's what Isser Kail is. And that says the Gemara, no matter the time, what would you say, Issa Bome Eilav Amrin, and when do we say Isser Kail? It's only a prohibition that comes by itself, like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is automatic. Yom Kippur comes, everything is prohibited to eat. So in the prohibition of eating, will include even things that up until now were non-kosher, like Nevela. Issa Bome Atzma Eilav Amrin, but a prohibition that comes by the person himself, which is like this Isser of Kail, when you're taking an oath, there maybe we would say that it would not be Kail. That's the Chiddush of Rava, that you say Isser Kail even by Isser Habame Atzma that he made up himself by taking a second oath. However, actually on this teaching of Rava, Masav Rava Bered the Rava. Rava the son of Rava asked on Rava. From the Mishnah Masechtas Krisis, the Mishnah says, Yesh Eichel Achila Achis. You could have a person eating one act of eating, meaning only one olive size of food. V'chayev Alau, and you could be liable in that one act of consumption of a kezayis. Arba chatayis v'ashem echad, four karbonas chatas and one karbon ashem. Ve'elohen, and these are the five violations. First of all, it's talking about a case of tameh, a person that's tameh, sha'achal chaylev that's eating, it's only one olive size, but is eating the prohibited fats of an animal, which v'hu naisim in the makdashin, it's the leftovers from a carbon. And he's doing this, b'yom kippur anyom kippur. So what are these five violations? He's liable for eating chaylev. Also because it's nicer, it's a carbon after, it's a lot of time, which is prohibited to eat. It's also Yom Kippurim. He's also a tummy that's eating kodshim, which is forbidden for any tummy to do. Those are four carbon chattas. And then you have the one carbon ashram for the fact of me'ilah misappropriating because it's hektish. And that halacha would apply even if he's a kayin, because actually the chaylev of a carbon is a misappropriation by anybody, because that belongs to the Mizbeach, not even to a Kohen. As the Gemara says in Tzmur Dev Lamed Beis Mabeis, Kol Cheil Lashem includes even the Emurim of Kachem Kalim from Me'ilah. Now, all these cases are all a Isser take effect on the Isser, but they're going to work either through Isser Kail or through Isser Maisav. How does the chronology work? When the animal is born, so it's Cheil, it's certain fats are prohibited. When the person then is makdish that behemoth to be a carbon, so since it takes effect, the Isser of Kodshim on the meat and on this hide, which until now was permitted, so it's going to take effect also on the chaylev, which that's Isser Kail, which we said that since it's taking effect on part of it, the other things will include in that too, because the whole carbon is one whole thing of carbon, which includes its fats too. So then, when the animal of the carbon is left over, it's a lot of time that you're allowed to eat that carbon. So since now there's an added Isser in the meat of the carbon itself, in regards to, of the fats, in regards to the mizbeach on this piece because of neiser. So then it gets added onto the person too to also be asaf him not only of chaylev but also as neiser. That's isa meiser. Like we said, you're adding on the isrum in the piece itself. Then when the person himself becomes tummy, so we say since this person becomes forbidden to partake of any kachim, even that which normally you could eat, because of the fact that he's tummy, so he becomes forbidden now also in the chaylev, because of the fact that he's tummy, that's iser kail, which we're saying a tummy person can't eat kachim, it's going to include all that, even from one piece to another piece. Moreover, the fact that it's Yom Kippurim, since he's forbidden to eat even unconsecrated items, even anything because it's Yom Kippur, so he becomes forbidden to eat this piece of chaylev also because of Yom Kippur, that's, as we said, is the Isser of Kail will include even other things which are already prohibited anyway. So those are the five violations. Continues the Mishnah, Rav Meir, he says, Af Moiseh Shabbos, he says, I could even add on a sixth one. He says, even if it's Shabbos, and the reason why he's picking Shabbos is because this town actually holds that there is no violation of Haitzah on Yom Kippurim, because there is no prohibition of carrying on Yom Kippur. So therefore, he says to Rameh that also, if it was Shabbos Yom Kippurim, Vaitziyah, and then he carried with his mouth when he was eating this Kizayas, Chayiv is going to be liable for the Malacha of Vaitzah on Shabbos, that makes another one. To which Amr Leh, they said to Rameh, no, Einu Min Hashem. That Karban Chatas is not going to be because of the act of eating. Everything we said up until now was for the eating itself. Yeah, you figured out a way when he's eating, he's walking and he's carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but that's not because of the eating. That wouldn't qualify for what we're trying to illustrate over here by having so many isurim for just one act. What we're describing, the act of eating, not for the act of carrying. That's the Mishnah increases. So on that, continues the Gemara to ask on Rava and says, V'im Isa. Now, if it would be true like what Rava said, that we say Isra Kail even by your Isra Haba Me'atzmai, meaning even by an Isra that a person created himself like by making a Shavua, so then the Tana could have added on one more Chatas by eating that Kazayis. Meshkachas Lo Chamesh, you could have five Kabbanas Chatas besides the Asham. Kugain Sha'amar, for example, if the person says, Shavua Shlo Echol Tamar Mechelev, the person says, I swear I'm not going to eat dates and the forbidden fats of an animal. And then we could say, Migi de Chayla Tamarim, since that Shavuot can take effect on the permitted item of the dates, Chayla Namah, Chaylev can take effect also on the prohibited fats too, which is just like Rabbah's case before, when he already made himself forbidden in Te'enim, but then he says Te'enim Anavim, takes effect on Te'enim too. So why didn't the Mishnah say that you could have another thing to be Usher in that Kazayis? So that says the Gemara, that even though, that yes, like Rabbah said, you could have an Isser Kail even by Issa Abba Ma'atzma that he made himself, but Kiketani, when was the town over there teaching, was only Issa Abba Me'elav. It was only talking about Isurim, as you see from all those cases, that come by themselves. Issa Abba Me'atzma, Lekatani, wasn't talking about those type of cases. Yeah, you could create other Isurim by yourself. But he wasn't talking about those types of halachas, and therefore he didn't add on that case. But yes, you could technically have spoken about that type of category and add on that case. That is the Gemara, Issa Abba Me'atzma, he wasn't saying. But one of the cases, Varei Hektish, but the Asham of Me'ilois, comes because of his words that was makdashid, and that's Issa Abba Me'atzmai, and that is counted in the Mishnah. So the Gemara, no, that hektish was toma b'bechayr, by a firstborn animal, the kudashas mirachem. His sanctity is from the womb. You don't have to, you're not makdashid with your words, not Abba Me'atzmai, it's actually Abba Me'elav. A bechayr is born that way, and therefore it's not a difficulty. Or Yibay Yisimov, the Gemara says you could have a second answer for the Gemara's question. Kiketani, when did we learn the cases in our Mishnah? Is midi de lesley she'ela. Were only things that cannot be asked to a chacham to permit that iser. Shavuot, the isle shei lekadani. And the reason why we didn't mention, yeah, Rava is true. Rava, according to Rava, iser kail is going to be taking effect. But we didn't count that case because it's something that you could undo. Undoing, we didn't want to talk about. I'm adding the Gemara, as in the first teretz, Bahari Hektish. You have Hektish, which comes through a nether, and every nether could be asked to a chacham to undo that nether. So the Gemara, like we said in the first teretz, so to here, we said to my firstborn, which cannot be undone. It wasn't done through a person's words to be undone. Ibai Simmer, if you want, you can say a third teretz. Again, these are all coming to answer the question about if Rav is correct that Issur Kail is even on a Bomei Atzmoy, so then we could have said a fifth chatas, that of saying, I'm making myself forbidden in Tamarim and in the Chalif. So the third teretz says, no, Kikatani, when did the Tana Mishnah Maseftis Krisis say all the list of things you could be chayv on kezayis was carbon kavua, was for a set carbon known as a chatas. Carbon oil b'yari, Likatani, but for a carbon oil b'yari, which is not a set carbon, a specific thing that you have to bring when you have that sin, as we said in the beginning of Masefta, where if a person violates like the halacha of Shavuos Bitui, which, or Isser, the Tumah, there's certain things that you, depending on your finances, you bring a different type of carbon, that wasn't set. which actually the Gemara asks. Hari Tamei she'achas l'kodesh, one of the liabilities was for a Tamei that eats kodesh. The Karban El B'Yared that we also mentioned in the beginning of Masechta, that's a Karban El B'Yared. Didn't you say you're not talking about Karban El B'Yared, and that's why you don't mention the case of Issachar Lav Rava? Says the Gemara, no, it's, yeah, it was a Tamei that eat kodesh, but it was talking about Benasi, a prince. Rebbe Eliezer, he da'ama nasi may be sar. He says that a nasi actually brings specifically a he-goat, as the Gemara says in Masechta's Harias. But the Gemara explains over there, Rebbe Eliezer only said that a nasi has to bring a set carbon by an aveira of a carbon el v'yayud only by tumas mikdash kedashav. Because since over there it says karis just like by a set carbon, in contrast to other things like a bitoy, shuas bitoy, or shuas shmias hakoel, there he didn't say his aloha, but by tumas mikdash kedashav, he said that a nasi has to bring a sar. So yes, even though tumas hakoel kedash would normally be el v'yayud, we're talking about a nasi who brings a set and a permanent carbon. A fourth answer of Ashi, I mean, he says, Kikitani, when did we learn in the list of Mishnah Masechtas Krisis, was Midi Dechayel Kashir, something that takes effect on a certain measurement, which that's what we said is from the case of eating a Zayas. Shvur Dechayel Apochas Mekashir, but an oath that could take effect even less than a measurement, like we said, if you say specifically, I want to take effect less than that, then, like Kikitani, in those cases we didn't say, we want to say something that has to be specifically a Zayas. But that's the very hektish. But you have the case of hektish, which you bring a usher me'ilais, comes on even something that's just worth a pruta, even though it's less than the kezais. So it's like, well, yeah, but habi'inush of a pruta, but you need it to be worth at least a pruta, and that's its measurement. Contrast to shvua can be even less than any measurement, even a minute amount, therefore we didn't mention that case. Ravashi Ma'avira, which is the name of a place, he says, Amr B'zeri, he says the name of B'zeri, a fifth answer. He says, Kikatani, when did we say in that list of things, was only Zedaini Karas. Something, if you do it deliberately, you get Karas. Zedaini Lav, look at Tani, if you do it deliberately, is only negative prohibition. That we didn't say. And the case of Shua is a Lav. And that has to come up, Bavari Asham. But you have the case of the Asham Me'ila, the Zedaini Lav, when a person violates Me'ila deliberately, it's only a negative prohibition. As the Brisa teaches, that if someone is mazed in regards to misappropriation of hektish, so Rebbe says he gets death, but the Chama says it's only asar, it's only a negative prohibition. Which the Gemara there explains what's the reason of Rebbe, because he learns that gzeir shava chet chet from Chuma, where it says chet by me'igla, it says chet by Chuma, where just like over there it's asar misab deshemaim, so too over here. Whereas Rabbanan say that no, the Pasuk says by Chuma, umesu boi ki chalaluhu, there you're going to die. In contrast, boi v'loi b'me'igla. So therefore it's being excluded from Misa. But the actual Gzeir Shav of Chet Chet, they agreed to, and that's how we know there's Hasara. But it's only negative prohibition, it's not going to be Karis. And therefore, asked the Gemara, Vuktani, yet the case of Hashem Me'ilis is taught, even though it's a Zodin of Lav, not of Karis. So I think Gemara continues, Tav of Chofayim Aman Aleph, that when did we say that the Mishnah Krisis only lists things which is something that, if you do deliberately, it's Karis and not a Lav? That was Bechatis Kamina. That was said only in regards to something that has to bring a Karmachatis. Where Shvuz Bitri brings the Karmen Chatas. In contrast to the Me'ila of Asham, yeah, although that is something that Zadon is Lav, but that's an Asham. And we weren't talking about that, we're talking about regarding something that brings a Chatas, that's only something that's Zadon the Karas, in contrast to Shvuz, where the Zadon is a Lav. A sixth approach, Ravinam, he says, Kikitani, when did we learn that Mishnah? Is Midi de Chayla, Midi de Varachilahu. It's only something that takes effect only, its prohibition on things which are eaten. Shavua, the chayla midid la barchilahu, like a tani. But in regards to an oath, it takes effect even on things that are not eaten, therefore we didn't count it, because that's such a, that takes effect on everything, that we didn't count. We weren't talking about only eating types of isurim, in contrast to shavua. On that is the Gemara very hektish, but one of the items mentioned over there was hektish. The chayla namei eitzim abanim, someone could sanctify even wood or rocks to the hektish, to the base of mikdash, and yet still we mentioned that as one of the halachas of violation. Other rather says a more different approach. Kikitani, when did we learn? Was midi de chayla, midi de isbe mashasha. Only for things that take effect on things of substance, including hektish. In contrast, shvua, the chayla, midi de lesbe mashasha, an oath that takes effect even on things that have no substance, kagoin. For example, let's say someone swears, she'ishin v'shalei ishin. I swear that I'm going to sleep or I'm not going to sleep. Where sleep is not something of substance. It's an idea. It's something abstract. It's not something that you can, that tangible. Loikatani, therefore, since Shavu could take effect even on things that have no mamashas, therefore that wasn't included in the list or the six different approaches to answer the question on Rava, where if you say Isser Koil is even the Issa Boma Atzma, that someone himself could create the Isser Koil, why didn't we say another Isser on the Chaylev when he says, I swear I'm not going to eat tomorrow my Chaylev? And I think Mor gave six different, although yes, that is possible, but six different qualifications of categorization of the Tanya in the Mishnah, except this creases what he was talking about, which does not include things that would include Shavua, and that's why it wasn't mentioned as the fifth Karmachatas.